We thank the Lord this morning for His salvation, His wonderful, beautiful love. I'm glad we can look to Him. I'm glad we can look to Him in life and for life. I'm glad we can look to Him when sometimes we maybe don't feel exactly like looking, or maybe some place we have looked has disappointed us. But I'm glad that we can always look up to Him with hope and with anticipation. So thank the Lord this morning for Christ, for God's plan of salvation that included you and me. Have you ever been left out of a plan? I have. Has there ever been a plan made and you weren't included? They're made all the time that way, aren't they? Things are made that maybe we don't even know about because we don't. Maybe it's in another town. Plans are made constantly. And then sometimes we're aware of plans being made and we would kind of like to be a part and we're not a part. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. I'm glad God included us in His planning. Every one of us. You don't have to feel left out this morning. Every one of us have been included in God's planning. He would that all men everywhere be a partaker of His plan. So, thank the Lord. I am encouraged in God. In this life, you'll have your trials and tribulations and problems, even persecutions maybe sometime. But He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, let's keep our eyes on Jesus this morning. Oh, He's a bright light. He's a beautiful light. Last month in National Geographic, I subscribe to that, and its lead feature article is usually highlighted in little bolder letters some way on the front cover. So it's highlighted what they think the lead article is. Well, last month's article, here was the caption on it. The greatest journey ever told. The greatest journey ever told. And this is what it was about. It was about the contention and the idea that all of the human race originated in sub-Saharan Africa. And over the course of millenniums, man began to journey out of Africa, and it had a big chart that it sent out with it. You could fold it out, and it showed the progress of the human race going up into Palestine area, then branching off. And of course, as this was happening, people were changing. Colors were changing. Everything was changing about people in this process also, in this theory. And there was an arrow going off over into Europe. There was another one that kind of continued up slightly up into the Russian area. Then the arrow made a significant turn and went up through China, Mongolia. Had a little branch jumping off and running down into New Zealand and Australia. Then it got on over and it got up to Siberia and the Bering Strait, and the little arrow jumped on over into Alaska, came down the base of the Rocky Mountains, sides of the Rocky Mountains. One arrow branched off and went over toward the East Coast, and another one went on down into Mexico, Central America, then on down into South America. And according to that article, that's how the world was populated. Well, that's not my point, but I just kind of gave you a little insight. Indeed, from their perspective, that was a great journey. And from their perspective, probably it was the greatest journey ever told. And I read that and I thought, hey, I know a better journey than that. And I know a greater journey from that. I remember and I know about a journey back from sin. And a journey that will be translated out of the kingdom of darkness And I remember a journey that brought me back from sin and brought me to God. And that's what I'd like to speak about this morning. To me, it's the greatest journey that ever was. The greatest journey ever told. And it transcends humanity. And I speak as a, just, I'm just referring to the article now. It transcends a millennium of time that man was supposedly having to do this. It took the chance out of it. It took all the things of the man's ability out of it. And it placed all the authority and all the guidance and all the directions into the hands of an Almighty God. The journey that you and I took, the journey that is offered to every one of us of coming back home, coming back from the fall, coming back from sin, coming back from the consequences of sin, being able to leave a dark and a dank place, to come back into the beautiful brilliance of God, to leave the home of sin and into the abode of God and the holiness of God. A great journey that is offered to you and to me. I trust that we've each one are on that journey. We are back home. And I want to talk about that a little bit today, about the greatest journey ever told, according to the way I see it. We sing a song, From Death to Life, He Lifted Me. Down through the time of man, we've always tried to figure out what we're going to do about this thing called death. Because we know it's appointed to us. We know it's something we all have to face. And men have tried to figure out all kinds of things. Reincarnation and, oh, you name it. Some type of heaven of some man's inventions. Just various things that men have. And some have just said, well, there really is nothing else. Let's just be good and hope for the best. Men have tried to conquer in their imaginations this thing called death. And then we think about a spiritual death, an estrangement from God. I'm glad for a journey the Lord gave the songwriter about from death to life, from a separation from God. Folks, that's greater than any journey any imaginary ancestors of mine ever took. You know, you think about the men and women who settled America, and some of it was under the direst of hardships. And some of it was at the loss of everything they had in the country they originated from. And it was a great exodus from Europe and other places, from the Orient and Africa and various places, and they populated America. That was a great journey. But folks, nothing can compare to coming out of sin, being born from above, having our names taken out of that old book of death and placed in God's book and the book of life. We sing a song about a highway of the King. Thank the Lord, today the Lord has given us a highway to journey on. He didn't just say, get out the best you can, but He said, and there'll be a highway there. Not just the low way of man, not just the mediocre thoughts of man's self-improvement, but praise God, a highway that the King established. And I said last Sunday night, He said it was a foolproof way. Thank the Lord today, that there's a highway now for us to get on. There's a way out of this thing called sin. There's a way out of this thing called death. There's a way out whereby you and I can come out and be separate, and we don't have to be assimilated into the unclean things of society, but we can be separate from sinners as Christ was, not through our own power or our own authority, but praise God, by the blood of Christ, by the highway of the King. Another song we sing, and part of it says this, right was the pathway leading to this. Did you know when we get on this highway, we begin to journey on this highway, we begin to enjoy the scenery, and we begin to enjoy the blessings and the freedoms and the liberty of it. When we begin to feel them old sins roll away and there's no guilt and there is a true freedom, then we begin to think, right was the pathway. I made the right choice. I did the right thing. Right was the pathway. You know, I'm sure if our ancestors of old trekked across the world, and I'm sure there was many exoduses at times in the history of mankind that's not recorded. We get little fragments of it here and there. I'm sure it was trial and error. I'm sure that sometimes they had to climb a mountain and thought they was at the top of it and going down into the valley below, and lo and behold, there was a bigger mountain on the other side. Or there was a sea or something they couldn't get over. And they'd say, well, this wasn't the right way. Have you ever thought about the first guys that went from Missouri to Oregon or to California? Now, they had to do a lot of backtracking, I figure. Because, you know, you've been out west, and you think you look, well, that's the way to go. And when you get there, there's a chasm. Or that mountain is bigger than you thought it was. Don't you imagine those fellows had to do them old scouts? They got down there and, well, I didn't see that river from where I was, and we can't ford that river. They had to ride way up the river or way down the river. There was a lot of trial and error in it. Oh, thank the Lord today that the Lord has established a highway, a holy way. And we can get on this highway and say, right was the pathway. It was the right way to go. Thank the Lord for that. Down through time, there's been a lot of journeys. Think about the children of Israel. Now, I realize theirs didn't have to be that long, but it wound up to be a pretty long journey, did it not? Think about Columbus. That was a kind of an eventful journey, wasn't it? Leaving the old world and coming to a place that he thought was over here. Have you ever thought about that? I don't think I'd have got on a ship with him if I'd have been back in those days. I'd have said, well, just give me Portugal, you know. It's hard sometimes to leave where you are, to go to some place promised. Think about Abraham and his faithfulness to God, and he believed God. It's hard to leave houses and land sometimes and some kind of security, so-called. But did you know the great events in life come at a sacrifice of people being willing to leave what is considered security and venture off into the unknown? Well, I'm glad today that we can venture with God on a highway He's erected. And it's not unknown. The way is prescribed. It's talked about and testified about in the Word of God. Brother Chandler told him years ago, said it's a walk by faith. Everything we receive by faith from God. Let's believe the good report. Think about going to the moon. How many years did they work toward that journey? The westward movement. Then I was thinking about another journey that I really want a lot of help on. And that's one that every one of us are going to take, and are taking right today. And that's the journey from the cradle to the grave. What a journey. What a trip. Full of excitement, full of adventure, full of dangers, uncertainties, laughter, tears. But none of us have mastered the ability to winnow our own path, to direct our own course. And I feel like, of all people, I need the most help in this journey called life. From the cradle to the grave, we're going out to meet the Lord. I have some scriptures in a moment, but let's think some more a minute. Adam and Eve came into the world, created of God. And after a period of time, they transgressed. We know the story. And that began a journey for man. That was a new journey. God had set us in a holy place. He was there. Tree of life was there. Everything necessary for life and godliness was there. Temperature was just right. Animals all got along with each other. Plenty of food to eat. Adam and Eve loved each other. And they just had it made. Wonderful place. But one day they decided, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to disobey God. And it began a journey that they didn't want to get on. They didn't understand it. And they began a journey for you and me that when I was born, I had to get on the same journey that Adam and Eve put me on. I didn't have any choice, but I was born with something in me that was prone to wander from God. And I didn't have any way to choose different. I was created, conceived in sin, as David said. In this journey, we lost peace with God. We lost hope. And man was introduced to taking his own way. I hope this morning, you see, life is a good teacher. I hope this morning every one of us have learned that the way of man is not as himself. I hope we have each one come to a realization that I don't know how to direct my own steps. I hope we don't have to learn again and again and again. And I hope young man and young lady, young couples, every one of us here today, I hope we have learned from the tragic mistakes of our past that I don't really have it in me to conduct this journey in a right way. That I am going to be offended and that I am going to be offensive. That I'm going to sin and I'm going to do things that bring serious consequences on me. I hope we have learned the consequences of us taking our own way. Of the guilt, the condemnation, the fear, the despair, the contention in societies that we see, the uncertainties, and a real want. I believe, if anything, the journey that man took after the fall, it produced a great want within him, a great lack, and a great need. And somewhere in the recesses of man's understanding and wishes, there was always this longing for something lost. One writer, and I've never really read the whole book, wrote a book about paradise lost. Then he wrote another one, Paradise Gained, Regained. Man fell from a wonderful estate, and I believe God put within us a real yearning for that which we lost. But we didn't know the way. Thomas said, "How can I know it?" Jesus came to answer that for us. And he said, "I am the way. I am the way." May the Lord help us to know today to thank God for the journey back. The greatest story, the greatest journey that has ever been told, ever been offered to mankind. And let you and me rejoice that we can come home. I'll let you and me rejoice that we are home. Let you and me rejoice that we have been found, or we have found the way. One said, there, he said, "Come, we have found the Christ. I have found the way. I have found a way home." Oh, today there's no need for us to be lost. There's no need for us to be stumbling in our own ways. We don't have to bear any more of the consequences of that stumbling. Praise God, a way has been made to lift us up and out and over and through and put us in a highway of holiness and righteousness. The songwriter said, "I cannot find the way alone." Thank God this morning that he came to provide the way back. I want to read some now in John, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. John 1. A journey back. A journey back. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man," talking to John the Baptist, "there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world," speaking of Jesus, "and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God this morning for a way home. Thank the Lord that you and I can begin a journey of new life, new hope, a journey that is well lit by the Word of God, a journey that there's no darkness whatsoever in, a journey that is led by the very Holy Ghost of God. Praise the Lord that we have that in Him. And in Him was life, and in Him was light. I thought about those two words, and I thought about hope. How many times have people lost hope? There's no way out. How many times have despair crept upon a person's heart and caught them? And there they had to linger. Thank God tonight or today that the light of God is shining bright. The whole world is trying to cloud it. Unbelief is trying to take it away. But that does not take away from the fact that in Jesus Christ is life, and that life was the direction you and I needed. It was the light that we needed to bring us out of the darkness. It was the one that said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." It was the light that shined out of His life that offered you and me a journey of returning back to God. In Him we found repentance. In Him we found newness. In Him we found hope. Thank God this morning. And that light shined in the darkest of places. It shone in the recesses of man's heart. It went down to the very things that were polluted by sin. It didn't just stay aloof and say, "Look up," and, you know, Job cried out for a daysman. Job cried out that, but there was someone that could touch God and touch me. Cried out for that. This light and this life, he did not stay fixed in heaven that men would dream of him and long for him and not be able to touch him. But this light became life. And he came down to every one of us in the darkest of places. This morning, wherever we are, God comes to where we are and his light shines upon us. No man ascended up and drew him down from heaven. No man was able to say, "I'm going to come and get you and bring you down." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that you and I might not be sinners, that we not be lost, that we might have life. So this morning, I want you to know something. God comes down to where you are. Comes down to your journey. If you have chosen the journey of man and selfishness, He'll come right down to that journey. There was a man named Paul. He was streaking out across the desert, going to Damascus full of zeal, had a letter of authority in his hand, and he knew he was doing God's business. And God came right down into Paul's journey. He said, "Whoa, stop what you're doing, Paul." And what did it come as? It came as a great light, for God is light. And in Him is absolutely no darkness. I want you to know this morning, wherever you are in your journey, God will come down and visit you on your journey. He won't make you leave that journey to talk to Him. He'll come to where you are and visit you on your journey. If that journey is sin, He'll come right down on that journey with you. Not sinning with you, but He'll come right to where you are. He's gone into bar rooms. He's gone into houses of sin. God has gone into every place imaginable to visit a sinner. He'll go right to where you are. As you drink that drink, sitting at the bar, smoke that cigarette, or tell that filthy joke, God will come right there and talk to you about the journey and the consequences of what you're doing. Aren't you glad for that? What if He would piously stay up in heaven and holler at us a little bit or ignore us? But He came down to my journey. This morning, if your journey is in doubt, if your journey is in a fearful place, God will come right down into your fears and shed His light. Wherever there's darkness, wherever there's a place in your journey that needs the light of God, He'll come right down to that place. Why? Because He loves you. He's interested in you. And He wants to show you a better way. He says, "I'm the way." He wants to show us a way out. You know, my mother used to tell me, "Boy, you're in a fix now." You know, we can get ourselves in fixes. We'll choose our own thinking, own dilemma. We'll make financial decisions sometimes that have no basis of a maturity about them sometimes. We get ourselves in a fix. Did you know God will come right down in our fix? Oh, He'll show us the way out. He'll help us and give us the discipline to get the way out. And all this time, this hope is shining bright. He was the life. He visited men where they were. He visited them when they were sick. He visited the lady that was caught in adultery. He went right down to where they are and said, I've got a better way for you. Go and sin no more. He saw the sick, the maimed, the lame. He went to that pool where he knew that man, I'm sure, was already there. He knew that man was disappointed and heartbroken because every time the water was troubled, he couldn't walk and somebody was faster and they jumped in ahead of him. Jesus came right down to where he was and he said, I've got something better than a pool of water. I am the way of the truth. I am the life. I am the bread of life. Oh, thank God this morning that he came down. He came down to you and me. And that life offered something that we all need. And that's hope. Now, old Christopher Columbus, did you know he didn't just have a lark? He had a hope that when he went far enough, he was going to find India. That's what the history books tell us. Hence, down and around Florida, out past there, it's called the West Indies. Well, he didn't find India. We know that. But he found what we call the New World. But the point I'm making is he began the journey with a hope, an anticipation. And that's what God offers to you and to me, a hope. And a hope of something new, something better. May the Lord help us this morning to see that is a wonderful place, a wonderful thing that's offered to us. He said these were this way or this journey back is not one that man prescribed for himself. It's not a self-help program. It's divine. It's holy. It's without error. You know, life is full of buts. But this and but that and what if this and what if that. The Lord came with a definite plan for our salvation. He's not going to leave it to other men, he said. He's going to be the king and the priest forever. And this morning, God has not offered us a plan that's full of ifs and buts and et ceteras, but it is a positive way. He said, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you get to that crossroad of life, you'll hear it if you'll listen. And that light will shine bright. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And if you and me will walk in that way, we'll find peace to our soul, wherever we are today. Before this day is over with, it'll amaze me and you maybe at how many decisions we've got to make. Some of you are going to be going down the road after a while. Somebody's going to pull out in front of you. You got to make a decision. And you're going to have to make a decision whether to blow your horn and shake your fist or be gracious and just kind of slow down. This is the way. Walk ye in it. He's a light, and He's hope, and He's a way back. He said to him, Jesus, the porter opened. That bar, that flaming swords that were there, the seraphim, the angel of the Lord, stood in a way where you and I could not enter back into the rest. But now, praise God, that rest, there remaineth now a rest, and the way is open. Jesus Christ is that door, and He's the way, He's the truth and the life. And He became the way back to that place that we lost in the beginning. Oh, thank God this morning for that. Over in Colossians, the first chapter, I'd like to read a little here. Colossians 1, 9 and through 13. For this cause, this is Colossians 1 and 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with all the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering and joy, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or made it acceptable, made it possible for us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Thank the Lord that you and I have, that are saved, have been on a journey of being translated. Before I was saved, I saw this TV show, Star Trek. And it was, they could put you in this little chamber, push a button, and they'd teleport you anywhere you needed to go. And then when you were down on wherever you went and needed to get back in a hurry, I don't know who Scotty was, but they'd say, "Beam me up, Scotty," and they'd push a button, and there you'd go back. Well, that's imagination. But thank God you and me have been translated by the miraculous power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Out of the kingdom of darkness and sorrow and severe consequences, out of the kingdom of a hopelessness, out of the kingdom of dread, out of the kingdom of the fear of death, out of the kingdom of divorce and separation and anger and jealousy and greed and envy and strife and malice and murder and hatred, out of the kingdom of all the filth that's in the world through sin, we've been translated out of that miry clay of the despicable condition man was in because he loved us. And translated, what a journey, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Kingdom of peace, kingdom of joy. And how long did it take? How long did it take? Well, it was like that. The moment arrived that I believed and I called on Jesus Christ, he translated me up and out of that kingdom of sin into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And one songwriter said, an onward together journey, I believe. And we began to walk with him, not astounded in that we didn't know him as they did on the road to Emmaus, not just a craving in our hearts to know more, but actually having the Son of God to walk with us every step of the way. Praise God. Translated us out of that old kingdom of darkness. That's a journey, folks. This morning, if you're in that kingdom of darkness, that's sin. If you're in that kingdom of darkness, you know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to translate you. And he wants to begin you on a upward journey, that you may understand all the fullness and all the joys might grow in grace. Over in John, the 3rd chapter, this kingdom, by the way, it's a kingdom of peace, it's a kingdom of righteousness, and it's a kingdom of joy. Praise God. Have you been reading much about Nepal? It's in the news lately. A little country there north of India, south of China. They've got a man over there in rule that he's just a pretty rough fellow. And he's a king, absolute monarchy, one of the few left on the earth. And he's trying to hold on to that, and he's not very gracious. Consequently, all the foes that maybe even the United States don't agree with, they're getting together to try to depose him. Not very much of a kingdom of peace. That king is leading their country into war, into hatred, and variance, and division. And probably the end of it will be some kind of civil war that will probably decimate the countryside for decades to come. I'm glad for a kingdom of peace this morning. And Christ is reigning there. And his highway is a kingdom of peace. Is a roadway to peace. Read with me in John, the 3rd chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with thee. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, or truly, 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 verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we were born to our journey here below. And it was a journey that was away from God, and that's all we knew. And there was no hope of turning back. There was no way to turn around. We were born of the flesh, and we were going to behave as the flesh. There was no way out. But Jesus Christ came to be the way out. That you and I today now can be born from above. Be born of the Spirit. Consequently, we forsake the old way. If I was going somewhere, let's say, where's somewhere simple? Wichita. And if I was going to Wichita and I got out here to the north intersection in Guthrie and took Highway 33 west, and I traveled a ways and I realized this doesn't seem right, and I stopped somewhere, maybe around Kingfisher or somewhere, and I said, hey, I'm going to Wichita. And this doesn't, the sun keeps setting in front of me, and it shouldn't be doing that. What's going on here? Well, man, you're on Highway 33 going due west. You ought to go back over here to I-35 or go up 81 and cut over, but you're on the wrong highway. Folks, something would have to take place in my mind. I'd have to make a decision that I'm going to get off of 33. I'm going to backtrack if need be, and I'm going to go get over on the highway. You and I must come to that place that I am walking in the way of the flesh, and I've got to get off of this highway. I've got to get on the highway of the King. I've got to be born of the Spirit. I've got to be born from above. Too many times we as Christians get on the highway, wrong highway. Hear what I say now. I'm not saying we get on an old sinful highway. But we take sometimes at our own direction. We take maybe what seems to be the least course of resistance. Or sometimes we let an offense come. Or we let a fear creep in. Or, God forbid, a little unbelief. And we start following that thing. And then the kingdom of peace is still there, but it's not as peaceful to me. We've got to get off of that old highway. We've got to get out of that doubt or out of that fear or out of that little selfish attitude. We've got to make sure that we're on the highway of the King. Get back on the highway or straighten out. In other words, the man would say, you're going, man, if you keep on, you're going to run into, what's over that way, Amarillo? That's not Wichita. I don't want to go to Amarillo. I want to go to Wichita. Then you better get on the highway. Only one way to get there. May God help us today. I want you to think with me something about something Nicodemus said. Back up in the fourth verse, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Think about that a little bit. First off, you might just look on that as a rhetorical or just a question, obvious. But I read something different in that. I kind of got in Nicodemus' mind a little bit. Do you hear something in Nicodemus of a little resignation to his fate, to his error, to his mistakes? Do you read in this a little bit of a hope that sprung up in Nicodemus? Do you mean, oh, I can't think of it that way. I'm just me, Nicodemus. I'm just the way I am. And I've made so many mistakes, and treated people less than respectful, and I've got all this baggage. Oh, surely. Tell me, is there really, can a man really be born again? I hear in Nicodemus, not a questioning, not a scoffing, but I hear him saying, is it possible? Did you know the gospel is, by interpretation, by definition, good news? That's good news, see? You're on a journey this morning and you don't like it. And this journey has caused you sorrow and you recognize that. And Jesus comes along and says, you can be born again. Nicodemus said, oh, I don't know what he's talking about, but do you think it's even possible? How? Surely that's not possible. Oh, but what if it is? What if it would be possible to go back to when I was a child? Not even necessarily to my mother's womb, but just to be innocent again. You can have that this morning, folks. We can be innocent before God. If the journey you've taken is full of regrets, if the journey you've taken has sin in it, if the journey that you're on this morning is leading you to a place you don't want to go, praise God. You don't have to go there. You can get off. You can be translated. You can be brought out of that kingdom. Is the way you're on today in darkness? Or do you feel hopeless? Nicodemus, I believe he got something stirred up in him of, oh, if it were only possible. Praise God, this morning it's possible, folks. Regardless of where on the journey of life you are, God has offered us a way back. Regardless of the unrest, He's offered us the kingdom of peace. Regardless of our sins, He's offered us forgiveness. Regardless of the circumstances and the consequences, He has offered us a new beginning. I hear what Nicodemus is saying. I hear a longing coming out of Nicodemus. I hear a pleading and a sigh of, oh, if it was only so, would I not run to that direction? Were it so, I would do everything I could to get born again. It is so this morning, dear ones. It is so this morning. We can have a new life. We can have a new beginning. Old things can pass away. Behold, all things can become new. Praise God, we can get off of the downward spiral and we can get on that wonderful highway of the King. We can be translated from fears and doubts and angers and all the carnal things that affect mankind. We can have victory over that through Jesus Christ. There's a highway available for us. But you know what? I've got to make a conscious decision. And I've got to say, Lord, have mercy on me. If it's sin, I've got to renounce the hidden things of darkness. I've got to say, farewell to thee, old master. You have long treated me like dirt. You have brought me down to a place that I hate. Farewell, farewell, O evil one. I have found the King. I found the Messiah. We've got to be willing to take God's way and say, right, right is this way. We've got to be able and willing to stop our ears as Christian did and run in spite of family and friends and acquaintances in the world and society and fads and fashions and all the things that we might have thought were important. We've got to drown out those things and we've got to hear and see Jesus Christ alone. We've got to stop our ears and cry, life, life, eternal life. We've got to be willing to be with Him through the good times. We've got to be willing to suffer with Him. This journey, I believe you and me wound up where we are in life. It has no eternal consequences, my ancestry doesn't. Whether I came out of Africa, whether I came out of Ireland, or whether I came out of China, has no bearing on eternity. But whether or not I have come out of the kingdom of darkness or not has all the bearing on it. And have you ever noticed the world, and me and you, if we're not careful, how the world can get so caught up in things that really don't matter and ignore the things that really do? Have you ever thought of that? Millions of dollars spent on tracing where Columbus came from. Was he from Africa or where? You know. Well, that's inquisitive. I don't entirely fault that as such. But I want to tell you something. There's something more pressing. We need to recognize Adam got us on the wrong journey. And every one of us have got on that journey at one time or another. And there's a journey of the flesh that leads you and me not into the kingdom and not into peace and not into joy and not into righteousness. And you and I have got to want from our heart, I want to get off this thing. I want to get off of this thing. And I want to get onto the kingdom of peace. I want to get into that highway. That's a journey, folks, that we all want. And I know this. I've enjoyed a few good things in life. Had a lot of friends in the world. But did you know, that night that I was saved, the night I was translated, and I could tell you some stories leading up to that, that's the greatest journey I've ever been on. It's beautiful. It's rich. I have someone to bear my burdens. I have someone to correct me, to guide me, to support me, to love me, to hold me, to care for me. I'm happy. I don't feel estranged from God. I'm not looking for a millennial reign. I'm not looking for some type of utopian on this earth. I'm just happy in the Lord. It's a kingdom of light. And in Him is no darkness. In Him is life. In Him is joy. In Him is peace. So this morning, I want you to, in the name of the Lord, I want you to think about your journey for a moment. Be critical. Be honest. Be candid. What's your journey like? Is it what you envisioned? Is it what you hoped for? Is it going to take you where you want to go? Is it going to lead you to heaven? Because if you continue on the journey you're on right now, it'll lead you somewhere, right? It'll lead you to something in this world, perhaps, but it'll also lead you to someplace in eternity. So just scribe a line. You know, you got, I'll sit down here. You got point A, point B. Well, that's a good one. You got point B. You got point C, point D. Now, here you are, right here. I'd ask you this morning to scribe a line between two points to find out where it ends up. If you're going from A to B, you can say you're not going there all you want to. But the course will tell you different. The GPS will tell you where you're going. That's not the journey you want. If you're on C to D, I don't care what the devil tells you. If you stay on that course, you're going to go to heaven. Think about it. So somewhere along in there, let's just stop and scribe a line from where we've been and where we are and see what's going to happen in the end. You know, God will be faithful to show us. So what about your journey today? I believe God's got a great journey for every one of us. You pray for me.